This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida. And you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for December 1st, episode 13009, brought to you today by Us Equestrian and Blueberry Hill Tack Store. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on Tuesday, the special jumping episode. I get to hang out with Emily from S Equestrian. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Survived the holidays. Got through Turkey Day.
You're not even halfway through it, really. I mean, you survived a holiday. Like, one is coming. Did you Cyber Monday shop or Black Friday shop?
You know what? I didn't. I put all of my energy onto the other side of things. I was running around town all day meeting people, selling coats and shirts, and which really isn't, I guess, Cyber Monday because there wasn't any cyber involved. But I was selling at discounts all over Wellington. So I enjoyed a Cyber Monday of sorts.
So, well, I was going to ask, does business boom for you guys a little bit more on Cyber Monday or on Black Friday?
You know, I mean, we do see it. Like, people definitely get excited. I'll post things about discounts, and we do have holiday discounts continuing through Christmas, even into the new year. The discounts are available through Facebook, not through the website. So we have the ECE Equestrian and either my personal or we have ECE Equestrian for IHSA. But, you know, my business is sort of really wrapped around the show schedule. So you get like my business really picks up when the circuit's going. So during the holidays, we have a couple big weeks that happened. We had an FEI week this last week. But yeah, it's sort of a different business because it's very much tied into when everybody's showing and needs to shop and buy coats and all of this. So we got to push traffic a little bit.
Well, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Let's get to Jennifer and find out what is on today's show.
Coming up on today's S Equestrian Blueberry Hill Tack Store Edition, Lindsay from Jennifer Wood Media is going to stop by with what's coming up for WEF 2015/16. And then Dr. Tom Griffiths is going to tell us why manipulation can be a good thing when it comes to helping your pet or you feel better. And then Kathy Gatto and Jenna Knutson are going to help us get healthier by way of healthy riders. And then rounding things out, Artie Hasty is going to stop by, the lady behind Blueberry Hill. And she's apparently quite the character, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thanks, Jennifer. Now, Emily, there's something going on right now. I think I saw on Facebook where you are doing some custom, you're doing the beautiful custom jackets. Now, is it too late to order a custom jacket like for Christmas, or will you squeak it in there, or is it going to be for later than that? I don't know how long something like that takes.
You know, we try to keep it 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes 6 to 8 weeks. Honestly, it depends on our distributors because we don't stock the materials, the shirts I do. I've got shirts in stock and they're at a discount for the holidays. Those can be out no problem for Christmas. The custom shirts take a little longer. We're thinking more like mid-January delivery for those. If you got your order in now, I actually have a fabric shipment that is landing here in New York, there in New York, hopefully this week. So we're looking at a mid-January delivery. Now, the coats are faster because they're single pieces. They're made to order. You find your size, your closest fit inside the size chart that we have. Uh-huh. And then from there, we can make minor alterations. So we have Maybe you want to take the sleeves up an inch, or you need to let it out an inch, or whatever it is. These minor alterations get made, but they're single pieces. So you really can, I mean, you can order more than one piece, but they get made as in the sewing room, not big production, which is super. So they really, I don't want to oversell it on how fast they come because it's the holidays and things happen, but they can really crank them out pretty fast. So probably not Christmas delivery, but within a week, 2 weeks, something like that after.
Fantastic. And they're so beautiful. And do you have fun colors for names for the colors? Because there's like this beautiful royal blue, sapphire blue. I've never wanted to wear lime green so bad in my life as until I saw this coat. Beautiful red. Do the coats have good, fun names for the colors?
You know, they're not as exciting. They're descriptive of what they are. Like the purple is a plum, or the brighter purple is a bright purple. But that's what the mill gives them. But it is funny that you say that, because whenever I go to make these barn calls, meet people, show them the whole size run, I ordered all of those colors, a little bit what was in stock, and I wanted loud colors to show that we can do all this. We're not just making the black and the navy and the gray and all this. And pretty much everybody just goes crazy for that green jacket. They say the same thing. They're like, oh my gosh, is this even acceptable? I don't know. Can I wear this? I really want to wear this. Like, people want to wear exciting colors. There's just sort of like an oppression, really, of like the Hunter ring and the Equitation ring.
Right.
So it'll take some time, but we do offer it. It's available, and you can get your own. So, like, some people are ordering by their barn colors. So maybe everybody orders the same coat. They have maybe a navy coat with a purple collar, and you can actually change the color of the embroidery and the binding on the inside as well. So you can really pump your barn colors, which is fun.
I think you need to come up with like fun names, like the purple instead of plum. It needs to be like a grape juice, or like pansy lavender. And then like the blue can be like a sea aqua ocean, you know, like go to like Lowe's and look at the names of their paint, and then you can come up with something like an electric blue pink. So I don't know.
Make it more exciting.
Yeah. Oh, I would really like to have the Blue Harbor coat. You know, something so ridiculous.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's funny to see how many people are really, really into the colors, because I made them, and you know me, I was like, you know, for sure, I'm going to wear them all, like all of the crazy colors. I want them all. But then for the sort of regular client that's coming in that shows maybe Hunters and Equitation, and I just kind of figured this is going to be awesome to have all these. No one's really going to order these colors. Like, people are definitely just going to order black and navy and gray and whatever. And that is not the case. I have no coats right now going into production that are not some loud, wild color. I love it. It's so cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's just going to be taken off in the jumper world for sure. Have you seen other companies start to kind of copy you yet?
I have. You know, we it's hard for us because we're small. We're a small business. I'm a horse professional. I have other people working full time on the company. My wonderful business partner, Senny Cade. We are turning the gears, but we're not Animo. We don't come in, you know, with this enormous marketing budget and take over like gangbusters. It takes time. So, funny enough, our show shirt was the first convertible sort of collarless athletic fabric show shirt on the market, period. We were the first, and it just took us more time to just attack the market with the marketing that needs to happen. It's very expensive and very time consuming. And so we got surpassed by Kings Limpicor and Animo, but we're still here. We're still going. And right. So we keep growing. And then same thing with the coats. It's like, you know, the colors are all over the rainbow. There's tons of options. And I do see now, looking around, I'm seeing Charles Ancona and some of these other companies are popping out these samples in these bright colors. So it's kind of, it's interesting. I think a good product. We're made in the USA. The materials are super. They're indestructible. These coats are so hard wearing. The shirts as well. I mean, you know, you wear them. They last. So that's sort of my business model, is making a good product. It's made in the USA. And I think that should keep the company going. And it has been.
I think everybody's trying to copy you. And if I see somebody wearing like an Animo purple coat, I'm going to go up and be like, I'm sorry, you stole that.
I will
not let that happen.
We have the purple that I got. I love that plum. My husband has one, and he has, well, I kind of made him wear it because he was like, Emily, I can't wear this bright purple coat at the horse show. You know, nobody knows what's going on. And he did put it on anyways, being the good husband he is, and wore it. And somebody came up and asked him if he was riding for Qatar now, because they're all wearing those purple coats.
It's oh
like, sorry, God. Husband. I wasn't trying to get you all that attention. But, you know, if everybody would be a little bit expressive, I think we could have, like, you know, a sea of colors out there. It'd be so much more interesting.
It absolutely would. And then you've got a couple horses going in the shows this week, I think, right?
We do. We haven't shown down here yet. My husband's got a nice horse. He's going to try some bigger classes in. Contador 8. He was showing it this summer, actually. I posted some videos. Really nice horse. Kevin Babington owns it. So we'll get that one going. And then I've got my young six-year-old, the chestnut horse, with the question mark on his face. And he does have a lot of questions, so we're taking our time. we're going to make the six-year-olds. But he's very special. He jumps really hard and high. And at that age, they just don't know. So we're taking our time with him. But he'll start showing this weekend. And then we've got a couple other ones showing. The little guy, he's only three, the stallion hipster. So he's not showing yet, but he's getting back under tack. And we'll just see kind of where the season leads. Maybe we make the four-year-old year, maybe not. It's funny because they all change, you know, age, like mid-training circuit while you're down here. But, you know, it's case by case. So to be determined, low pressure.
Yeah. Now, the one with the question mark on his face, what is his name?
His name is 20 Hearts.
20 Hearts. Okay. Sometimes you name a horse. Like, I bought a mare and her name was Graceful Flyer. And the most ungraceful, worst moving. I mean, like, I bought her as a yearling and, like, ended up being the most ungraceful, awkward, uncoordinated thing That's I'd hilarious. Ever sat on. And it's like, I almost often wonder if you, like, do people name them to, like, try to really kind of pump them up, or do they just end up with the opposite personalities? You know,
I know. No, for sure. It is funny. Like, that little guy hipster that I have with all that hair, and he really does have that attitude. Like, he's super chill. But he was named in utero, and you had to pick the H for the KWPN. And then it cracks me up because everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's the best name for him. Like, you know, nobody really knew. It just sort of happened that way.
He absorbed it, you know. He was like, okay, right. I can be a hipster.
yep. Gonna rock the long hair.
Now, I do believe your first guest is ready. Lindsay is here from Jennifer Wood Media.
Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. Are you sick?
I'm recovering, actually.
She gave it to me.
The indoor circuit took a little bit of a toll on me, but I'm making a recovery.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, those are long hours and inside. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it was an exciting indoor circuit, at least.
Yeah.
So you've survived, and now you have to get to Florida.
I'm alive and ready for WEF.
Yeah. When do you come down?
So I will be in town for the Trump Invitational on January 3rd. So I'll probably come down New Year's Day.
Always working. Yeah. Regardless of holidays, days off, whatnot. Well, that's perfect. So that'll be a nice kickoff. I will see you there. So you're going to be coming. Jennifer Wood Media handles all that is WEF. So give us the rundown. What can we expect this year? It's kicking off. We had a big week last week.
Yeah. So we just finished with the Holiday and Horses FEI week. And then so WEF kicks off on January 13th and runs through April 3rd this year. So 12 weeks of horse heaven. and we have a lot of exciting stuff going on. Obviously, again, you know, 12 rings of competition returning and 52 FEI world ranking classes. So we have 4 weeks that are FEI five stars and 3 weeks that are four stars. So a lot of exciting stuff happening.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, we've got a lot of big weeks. Wow. And now most of those classes are night classes, right?
Some of them are. So, you know, we always have, you know, during the FEI weeks, we have, you know, the Suncast Meter 50 Championship Series classes, and then also the WEF Challenge Cup Series classes. And then we have the big Grand Prix on Saturday night. And then, you know, obviously another offering on Sunday. But yeah, the Saturday Night Lights Grand Prix are some of the most exciting evenings of the circuit for sure.
Now, which I think is so great because you get all of the spectator, I mean, people, for not just spectators, but people that literally have nothing to do with horses. Like, I heard about this last week. Okay, it was a big week. It was FEI week and had the big Saturday Night Lights, which was the first one of this whole season. And I was actually at the nail place, like, way out there on Forest Hill, and the girls in there that work there were like, oh yeah, today's Saturday, or this week's Saturday, it's the Saturday Night Lights at WEF, it's the first one of the season, it's gonna be a big deal, we've got to go early. I was like, really, it's this week? Oh yeah, we were on the website, it's this week. Like, they were really excited about going.
And then you were at the nail salon and you were hearing that?
Yeah, the girls that worked there, and they were
so Korean?
No, but it was so funny. I was like, these girls, I mean, they're bringing their kids, they're excited. And sure enough, that's where I heard about it, that it was this week. So I went Saturday, of course. It was a huge class. And it was packed. I mean, they've got the popcorn, everybody brings their kids, and lo and behold, they had Vanilla Ice perform at 8:30 after the class. Like, it was a big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, that warms my heart because, you know, obviously every Saturday, you know, Palm Beach International Equestrian Center hits it out of the park as far as attracting, you know, spectators. And we love to see people who aren't necessarily horse people come and watch the show, because that's how we build an audience. And that's how, you know, show jumping becomes as popular as tennis or golf or pick your sport.
Oh, totally. We were out there when we came in the spectator entrance to watch the class, and where the big statue is and the fountain there where they've got like the carousel and all the stuff for the kids. Eric and I stopped there. It was packed. It was absolutely shoulder to shoulder people walking. And he was like, what percentage of these people do you think ride horses? I was like, 10? 15? Yeah,
a very small percentage. Yeah. I think that stays consistent throughout, you know, the circuit. I just started with Jennifer Wood Media a year ago. So last year, my first Saturday Night Lights, which is always the battle of the sexes, kind of a fun event. And I couldn't believe the amount of people that showed up to watch show jumping, because I just hadn't experienced it at any other show that I'd been at. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It's the way it needs to be. And it's high energy, and these guys stay for, you know, it's into the evening with kids and everything.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's just as loud when I'm trying to write our press release at the end of the night as it was at the beginning of the night.
It's so true. It's awesome. They did, for this Saturday, they had guys come in on parachutes. Well, they weren't parachutes yet. They came, jumped out of planes, possibly on fire. Anyone who was there knows what I'm talking about. We were like, is this allowable? And sure enough, three of them came down, and then they opened up their parachutes and the flames kind of went out, eventually went out. And then the one guy had a huge American flag, and they all landed right there in the arena around the show jumps.
Wow. They started doing, you know, they did that last year, but they didn't have the fire. So they're stepping up their game this year.
I thought that too. I was like, wait a minute. I remember this for last year, but not the fire. They're really serious, but this is fantastic. I mean, that's the way it should be. So tell us about the grounds a little bit. You're familiar with the grounds. Like, what do people expect? And like, how many horses show up? I mean, what is the lay of the land?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously they don't call it, you know, the Mecca of horse sport for nothing. So, I mean, the grounds are gorgeous. The grounds are made for horses, riders, trainers, as much as they're made for spectators. So, you know, there's tons of dining opportunities, shopping. You know, the horse paths are pretty secluded away from where the spectator, you know, stream of traffic is headed. But, like I said, you know, there's 12 rings. And then, in addition to the $20 ring, Emily's favorite.
Yes.
And you know, it's just, it's bustling from, you know, 7 a.m. until on Saturdays, midnight, 1 a.m. So, it's a really exciting place to be. And, you know, the places where the spectators view from really feel special. You know, we have our little Central Park area, which is, you know, has a bar that you can get drinks at and watch the International Ring and also the Main Hunter Ring. And, you know, it feels like you're at an event, not just, you know, your average weekend horse show. So, if anyone listening hasn't gone, you should check it out.
Yeah, seriously. And it really is. I am always surprised. I don't always come in through the spectator entrance. Mostly, obviously, I'm coming in through the barn. But anytime I do, I am reminded of how spectator friendly it is. Like, you can have people in heels. They're walking on nice cobblestone or concrete. The stands are clean. There's no dirt. They're not actually mingling with the horses or the horse path. They can pretty much, there's sort of a boardwalk that passes by the rings that has a railing on either side and feeds them into another sidewalk. So you can get close and everything, but it is super spectator friendly any time of the day.
Yeah. And you definitely get to experience the horses. You know, there's a bridge, you know, kind of the iconic WEF bridge that goes over the in-gate to the international ring. And that bridge is always packed because you can turn one way and you can see the horses warming up and basically, you know, the whole expanse of the grounds. And then you turn the other way and you can see the horses competing in the ring. And you can look down and you can see the horses waiting to go in the ring right below you. So you definitely get to experience the horse culture of the show while not being inconvenienced by having to walk through, you know, the footing or around the horses, and we keep it safe. So it's a really great experience.
Yeah, it really is. And the food is so good. Have you eaten at those restaurants surrounding the International Ring?
Unfortunately, I always go into a circuit saying, okay, I'm going to be really healthy and I'm getting nice and skinny. And then food is just so good that it never happens. So, it's you know, they do a really great job of catering, whether it's in the VIP or, you know, in the special dining areas around. So it's really great.
It is. It's so nice. And they have all kinds of different offerings for different situations. Of course, obviously, there's the showing, the spectating. But what I love are they have these different events, which the show management doesn't have to do this, but they do it. Yeah. Like, my company participates on, I think it's end of January, sometime around there, when they do that manufacturing expo.
Yeah,
I mean, how cool is that? It's 3 days. They let us come and set up at the International Arena, and they funnel traffic through wholesale and retail because, you know, we've got to partake in both. And then they can let us break down and go set up over at Global Dressage down the road and participate in their huge – they had like a – it was like a 5-star, I think, last year that we got to go and grab that whole crowd. I love that. They do a fashion show. What are some of the other charity events that they do?
Yeah, so, you know, what also makes – the Winter Equestrian Festival special is all of these special events that you're mentioning. Obviously, the first is that Battle of the Sexes, kind of an exhibition class where they pit, you know, an all-male team against an all-female team. That opens the season. And then obviously the Great Charity Challenge, which is returning for the 7th year and has given away millions of dollars to local Palm Beach charities. So that's a really exciting one. The riders get into it. And it's always kind of combined with a costume element. So everyone competing is dressing up. Again, this year we have the Wellington Eventing Showcase, which debuted last year, and that's going to return this year during week 4, I believe. So that's exciting to kind of introduce eventing into the circuit. And you know, like you said, we have the kind of an emerging brands vendor show. And then also, you know, each beginning of each week, they do lunch and learns and ride and learns. So, you know, they have these people come and do have speaking engagements on different topics. And then we also have clinicians come in and teach clinics right in the International Ring, usually on Mondays or Tuesdays. So there's so much. It's not just a horse show, for sure. It's so much more than a horse show.
That's amazing. I didn't realize they were doing the clinics. I knew the lunch and learn. I want to go to a few of those this year. But so is that sort of a regular thing, the clinics?
Yeah, they do. it's listed on the website as well, but they usually the clinicians end up being Grand Prix riders who are there competing. And then you can go on and apply to ride in some of their clinics, and they're super affordable. Obviously because it's a 1-day, kind of a condensed version. But you get to ride. I mean, Laura Kraut did one last year. And you know, you get to ride with these people for a very reasonable price. So, those are always exciting.
And then what about auditing? Can you go and watch, or do you have to buy tickets?
Auditing, I believe, is free. you can just come and kind of watch what's going on in the ring. And, you know, they have them all hooked up to the sound system. So it's a really, really great opportunity. I can get you guys the link if you want to post it up on your website or Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's great. I mean, what an opportunity. So people that are coming to Wellington, you don't really need to gear your trip around a normal horse show schedule. There's stuff going on every day.
Yeah, exactly. There is. And you know, if there is an excuse to leave your home for 3 months, which I do, as is Emily, you know, WEF is certainly the perfect excuse. And, you know, it's not kind of a disruption of your life for 3 months to go to a horse show. You're just really transplanting it because, you know, there's so much to do. It's not just horse show from sunup to sundown. So it's a really great opportunity for people competing and people like me who are just working.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great environment. Now, I don't know if you're a Dunkin' Donuts fan, but they just built, they took over, the Welly Deli is no more.
Oh, wow.
It is gone. But they still had the whole infrastructure's there. So there's still like all the frozen yogurt things on the one side. It looks like a Mexican, the Mexican food place in town. I can't remember the name of it. They're going to have something over there on the right, but Dunkin' Donuts has taken over that middle register, which is like wild, because when you went into Welly Deli, it was like outrageous. I mean, it's so expensive. Nobody wants that. But here, I mean, Dunkin' Donuts, they're going to be packed.
Yeah, that's because that is en route to the horse show.
Oh, 100%. It's like next to Gold Coast Feed. You got to feed the horse. And then Taqueria, it's a no-brainer, which sells Equestrian, by the way.
You can place your feed order, get your Taqueria fix and your coffee all in one spot. That's
dangerous. Oh, I know. Right? Seriously, this is Shopping Central. It is open. It's not, you know, I'm down here so early. So I was like, oh, fantastic. I'm going to go into Dunkin' Donuts. And there was this poor girl was in there and she was the only one there. I don't think they realized, you know, this early in circuit that like we were all coming and there were so many people in there. She was bewildered. But once they have a few more people in there, it's a no-brainer. I'm in.
Most businesses I've found in towns where there's horse shows get a little bit of a shock when, you know, people are coming in to start their day at 5 or 4:30 or whenever, and then, you know, they're not done or eating or shopping or what have you until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It kind of widens their eyes a little.
Oh yeah. And just the volume.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. But besides that, there's tons of stuff to do in Wellington. It's such a great location. So if you can make it, definitely come in person. If not, there are live streams, right? That's pretty regular.
Yeah, we'll be posting the Winter Equestrian Festival has a Facebook page. And, you know, we'll be posting the live stream schedules at the beginning of the week all throughout the 12-week circuit. So it's really exciting.
That is awesome. And now it's fun about the circuit, too, although it's part of the year. So it's the first part of the year. So for some young jumpers, you know, sometimes there's a little grumbling about this, but what they do at the end of Wellington is they have these sort of finale classes. So your young jumpers actually have a young jumper championship that moves into the international arena. Okay. They're the last, what is it? The last week?
Yeah. Week 12, we have, young jumper finals for 5, 6, and 7 year olds. So, you know, that attracts a lot of people who may not have been showing at WEF the whole year, but we get to see a lot of these young jumper riders come in and kind of strut their stuff in the international ring during the last week.
It's so much fun. I love watching those classes.
Yeah.
And then they have like, do they still do the young riders series?
The U25 series is still going on. So that's going to continue this year. And that's really exciting. That's been growing. And so they do a few different formats, you know, some straight, just, you know, jump off style stuff. They do some team formats. They get to jump out on the field over at the Global Dressage Festival. They get to jump in that smaller ring at Dressage, as well as in the international ring at Palm Beach International Equestrian Center. So that's something that's really been growing. And we've been seeing huge numbers in those classes. And also, you know, these up and coming emerging athletes really, really are attracted to that. So those should be some really, really competitive classes this year.
Yeah, I know. Those are great. Just to have that age group, get that exposure, and those horses are phenomenal. Oh my gosh. It's a real treat.
they have some great horses. And we also, you know, we kind of treat those like real spotlight classes, press conferences. And the point obviously is to groom these riders to one day be, you know, the top caliber professional Grand Prix riders. So they have the experience, you know, talking to the media, they have the experience thanking sponsors that sponsored the class. And from what I can see, I've had the opportunity to kind of see some of them in the beginning and now talk to them as professionals, and it's working.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, no, that's very exciting. And to have that opportunity like that to go, I mean, we didn't touch on it today. We'll catch it another episode when there's a show going, but that field across the street, that's the real deal, to have an opportunity to go and compete like that, you know, right here. I mean, it's like, you know, spring training camp or something. It's phenomenal.
And it makes the atmosphere a little bit, you know, you get to move from the WEF grounds over to the, you know, global grounds, and then be in the field and then come back. So, you know, it mixes it up a little bit.
For sure. For sure. Well, that's the deal. You guys, you got to check it out in person or live stream. But thank you, Lindsay, for talking us through WEF.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I love listening to you two talk. It sounds like you guys have been friends for years, and I'm like kind of the fly on the wall in a really awesome conversation. Uh-oh.
Lindsay's one of my favorite people ever.
I know. I miss you. I can't wait to come.
I know.
Are ready.
Yay. I want to go. It sounds awesome.
Get showing, girl.
I know. Let's do it.
All right. Talk to you soon, Lindsay. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Well, speaking of showing, I did take my little Mustang in his S equestrian gear, or me in mine, to a little jumper eventer show over the weekend. So,
oh, you did?
Yes. He's now successfully navigating 2-foot fences and courses.
Wow. So, that's really wild, huh? I mean, I got to get on your Facebook and look. It's such a short period of time, though.
He is just kicking along. You'll see, if you go to Thor the Mustang on Facebook, you will see his show jump round. And it was like, I did one little cross rails class because he's never really been anywhere and jumped anything. And so then I was like, well, let's move him up to the next one. And he took off and was like doing flying changes and craziness.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. I got to look at it. How old is he again?
He is 6 years old.
I mean, like, it's really wild because he's so big, and he really, I said that the first time I saw him. This okay, maybe he's a Mustang. They've told you this horse is a Mustang, but he's enormous and he's built to jump. I mean, he really is.
Excuse me. There was another Mustang there that was 13-2. Right? And it was hilarious. I'm like, they're like brother and sister. Let's get it next to each other and take pictures. It was ridiculous.
That's like the norm, isn't it? Aren't they just kind of... They're small, you know?
Well, they kind of come and all day. It just depends on where they're from, I guess, and different what herd they're from. A lot of them are kind of small and scrubby, you know, and a lot of them are bigger. So who knows? I feel like I got lucky. This one's, he's just so chill. Like, he's like, okay, do it. You told me to. Okay. But yeah, I'm sure you never thought that S Equestrian would be representing Mustang riding at eventing, things. So
I know the whole thing. I'm like, wow, this is fantastical. I love it. It's like a storybook. I'm gonna get on Facebook as soon as we're done with the show here and check this out. I can't wait. He looked like a jumper.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Let's not get carried away.
Hey, you're out of cross rails already and you just started. This is a champion.
Exactly. He's a champion. He's going to be amazing. Well, I do believe Dr. Grip is ready, and I'm so excited to start to hear about his veterinary orthopedic manipulation. I saw the video you posted on Facebook, and it's just take it away because I want to listen and hear what all of this is.
No, it's fantastic. Dr. Tom Griffith, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yay, I'm so glad we were able to work this out. Now, Dr. Griffith, I met, maybe a couple months ago now. He is a good friend of a good friend of mine. So it was, I got a referral to, I've got two animals actually that had sort of serious problems. But oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. Both of my animals are doing much, much better. So we'll get into that. But Dr. Griffith, tell us about what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a veterinarian, so I have a general practice as well. But what we're talking about here is veterinary orthopedic manipulation, and it's a neuronal adjusting technique that utilizes an activator to motion the spinal column in order to affect the adjustment that we're trying to do to reduce the subluxations that are present in the animal's body.
Which, I mean, you've got a couple different machines that you use. I'll post the other videos after the show. I know that people use chiropractors and body workers and all this. I've really never gotten so much into it. I myself have gone to a chiropractor because I've obviously, you know, being a professional rider and whatnot. But I was shocked at the results with my two animals. Some of you know my chestnut horse, 20 Hearts, very nice horse, has a very crooked tail, holds it to the side kind of like all the time, like an Arabian. Right. So that was my original thing. The horse, he's a development horse. He's in the market. This is something we wanted to look at. So that he was missing his lead changes maybe 30, 40% of the time. So that was something we wanted to investigate. But then I had, when Dr. Griffith got to the barn, he does, as we are talking large animals, horses, he looked down at my wiener dog, Arno, which some of you know. His back. I felt so terrible. A couple weeks before I met Mr. Griffith, I thought he fell and maybe broke his tail because it was just the tail. You know, it wasn't working. Uh-huh. It wasn't picking up and all this. And he looked at the dog and said immediately he's got something wrong with the disc in his back. And he used the same technique. He has a small animal practice as well, Palm Beach Animal Hospital. They're online. PAAnimalHospital.com, and he did the same technique to the dog. Within two sessions, he was wagging his tail. He was all better. Yeah,
no way. I
couldn't believe it. It was absolutely night and day. So this is incredibly effective, small animal and large animal. So, and my horse's tail, by the way, is laying straight. But
really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Griffith, what did we do? Three sessions so far?
We have done, yesterday was his fourth session. This technique is so unbelievable, and the way it will help just about any animals, having specifically the kind of problems that you were just talking about with your dog and your horse. And you'd ask me about that I'm using three different types of machines. The primary one that actually affects the adjustment is an activator. And what that does is it puts motion into each spinal segment, and wherever there is a subluxation, or basically, in layman's terms, you could describe it as a blown circuit breaker, which happens when there's injury or toxin or any kind of inflammation, will feed back into the central nervous system that goes through the spinal cord at that circuit breaker, which is the synapse. And so that gets what's called a subluxation, and so it's basically a blown circuit breaker. So the first part of the technique that we do is the adjustment. So we're reducing all of the subluxation. So we're going along each segment and we are turning the circuit breaker back on. The good thing is that if it's already on, it won't turn it off. It'll only turn the ones that are off back on. So, and then the second part of the adjustment is the myofascial release with a device called an arthrostim. And what that does, that puts controlled motion back into the joints, where there may be some joints that are a little stiff or stuck. And so we're able to do any areas that are showing that, we concentrate on them, work on them. You know, sometimes the ribs will be a little bit out of place and a little bit stuck. And so it's very, very effective on that as well. And then we finish them up with something called a vibrocusser, which is kind of like a massage, but it also has a vertical component. So you can speed up and slow it down to control the depth that it penetrates into the tissue, so the healing frequencies can be controlled in that fashion. And it's just, you know, some of the results I've had have been so unbelievable. I kind of hesitate to even tell people about it because they think I'm kidding, because it's just so great.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. I can vouch for that absolutely with my two animals. I mean, my chestnut horse, the horse was not nearly in the condition the dog was. I thought he was getting better, but it could have pretty much been immediately better had I investigated this sooner. But the chestnut horse, I mean, he's doing all of his lead changes all the time. Like, it's not he's a little bit better. I think I feel something. I was like, wow, Like I thought I had a lot of work to do training wise. And in fact, I didn't. The horse understood. He was just a little stuck behind. Dr. Griffith located the areas that he saw, which makes total sense when you were working with the animal. It was very interesting to get that other feedback. And it really is night and day. It really is.
Yep. We can actually get reads off the body, so the animals don't have a nerve called a recurrent meningeal nerve, like people do. So they'll actually give you a little flinch in the areas where the subluxations are. So it's real easy to see where they are, and you can concentrate on those areas. And generally, it corresponds with what the rider's feeling. That's the main thing. And you don't really see much difference in the animal. You know, you'll jog them and trot them out and stuff, and you won't see a difference in the adjustment, but the rider will tell you, just like you're telling me, the lead changes are coming naturally now. They're easy, especially dressage horses. The riders will get on and say, man, that horse is totally different. And so it can be a technique that can really help with some of those subtle things that are bothering the horse. And the other thing that I've discovered over the years, a couple things, is one is if you're getting joints injected, which a lot of people have done on their animals, and that's most of the time they're, you know, that's something that they need to do. But if you add this adjusting as part of a kind of like a maintenance protocol, they don't need to be injected as often, and they just do a lot better. And the other thing is, when I first started doing this technique, I couldn't believe all the neck problems I was finding that were never apparent or obvious, you know, on just plain physical exam. So it's really a great technique for diagnosing and helping you pinpoint where the problem is as well.
Now, Emily, how soon after your first treatment, or how soon did you see results? Like, how many treatments did it take to see something?
Oh, the first one on both animals. The horse kind of, I think his ailment was not as severe as the dachshund. Mm-hmm. So like first session, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting all my lead changes. Like, the horse is jumping super. He got fresh because he was always a bit like a little dull, I guess you would call him, you know, not salty. Yeah. No fire. And I mean, I flat almost got bucked off on the canals the next day. I was like, whoa, where'd this horse come from? He was like fresh and excited.
I would tell people to be careful, you know, the first time they ride them, because, you know, some horses will be exactly like that. They'll be feeling really good. I had one girl with a barrel race, and she almost fell off backwards. The horse took off so fast.
Now, Dr. Griffith, you sound like you are kind of, is this a new technique for you? Is this something you've recently learned? Because you sound so excited about it and so fresh about it.
Well, you know, I learned it in 2002. You know, I took an acupuncture course to kind of, you know, go along with it in 2004. But no, it is exciting, because I have these, you know, the horses aren't like the dogs and cats, you know, and it's mostly dogs that we see at the small animal hospital, but that I do as far as adjusting. And the horses will be like Emily's horse, where they're having trouble with them, you know, and they're not paralyzed or anything. But I'm, you know, there's people that come in with dogs that are paralyzed. Well, one guy came in with it last year with carried this 9-month-old Great Dane puppy in. He was, you know, a puppy, like 150 pounds. Then to a couple of specialists, carried him in. He could pick his head up. That was it. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know if we can help this one or not. We adjusted him. These guys sent me a video a couple of weeks ago. The dog is running down the beach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. And I have stories like that with a bunch, you know, all these dogs. You know, I'm like, I don't know if I can help this one either. Sure enough, you know, we adjust them. These are animals that have been to neurologist specialists. They come in with a box full of x-rays or a CD full of x-rays, and we adjust them and they get better. So it's incredible. So it is exciting.
Do you, Dr. Griffith, are you a married man? Do you have a wife that sits at home and says, can you do my shoulder? Or do you... Your friends at parties.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I'm like, I don't really like going to my mom's house on Thanksgiving anymore or Christmas. Or animal hospital girls there are like, we like it when you do it. You know, we want you to do us, because, you know, the chiropractor really doesn't do that good. So when I'm doing small animals, if one of them's having a problem, they want me to adjust them as well. And yeah, my wife and my daughter, they're both riders, and they want to get adjusted, and I try to help them out when I can, you know.
So, yeah.
So that, you know, it is a human technique that was adapted to animals by veterinarian out in Idaho. His name is Dr. Bill Inman. And he's a great mentor. And anytime I have a problem with a case, I can call him. But it's great that he shared it with the veterinary population, because it's not something you learn in traditional veterinary school.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. I live in Phoenix, so obviously you're not going to travel out here. Be a heck of a farm call. But how do I find somebody who does what you do? Like all of our listeners in the different areas, how do they find somebody who does veterinary orthopedic manipulation and that they can trust?
There is Dr. Inman has a website, and you know, I think he updates it fairly often as far as the practitioners that have been trained by him. And his website is vomtech.com. It's vomtech.com. And you can go on there. And there's some information on there about the technique. And then he does have some practitioners on there that have been trained in the technique.
Cool. Good deal.
Yeah. No, it is nice. And for those of you who are coming down to Wellington, for sure, this is who you want to look up. Can they contact you through the PAAnimalHospital.com website? Is that possible?
Actually, it's the best way to get in touch with me would be through an email. It's palmbeachah@gmail.com.
Okay. And you guys should do it, because Dr. Griffith is here in Wellington. Dogs, horses. I mean, it was remarkable. And I keep up with it. I can feel it if the horse gets a little locked up. And this is for sure going to be part of our program here. And you can, the coolest thing I thought really was that you could hear, like you were saying, okay, he's a bit sore here in these ribs. I can feel it here on the left side, and whatever it was with that horse. I felt that. That resonated with me, and I felt it change. And so if you maybe are not sure what's going on with your horse, but you want to take a first step into some investigation, this is a great first step to take before you go and inject everything and try to, you know, attack it that way. This is actually getting to the root of the problem and helping work through it. It's changing it.
Yeah, when I first started doing the technique, I had a horse that really, it was a racehorse, and it really wasn't performing the way they thought it would when they first had put the horse into training as a 2-year-old. And yeah, I looked at it and placed it. Yeah, it needed the tox injected and had a couple other problems. We did that, and it didn't really help. And so when I first started doing it, I told the trainer, well, I learned this new technique. Why don't we adjust the horse? And the next day, the guy calls me up and goes, what'd you do to my horse? And I said, what are you talking about? I thought maybe the horse, you know, we messed him up or something. And he's like, he had the fastest work in a day. And, you know,
oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So it can make you. It's really not, it's something that, you know, you can do to help all the other things that are going on with the horse. And if a horse is having a problem with his joint and it's getting injected, or it's had a sore foot or, you know, something like that, that, you know, you adjust them to clear out all of the subluxations, because all that stuff feeds back into the central nervous system and pops the circuit breaker. And so by adjusting them, you've worked on the isolated place where the problem is. Now you need to take care of the whole body and get everything straight. And that's what I usually recommend.
Well, it is effective. You guys check it out. Dr. Tom Griffith here in Wellington. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us.
It's my pleasure.
Really appreciate it. All right. Well, we will see you soon.
I found a couple in Phoenix, so we're good.
You found him. She's already looking. It really is the real deal.
Yeah, no, this is awesome.
It's the real deal. But it's Dr. Griffith for Wellington. So check it out. All right, talk to you soon. Thanks.
Awesome. No, that's super helpful. The big 17-2 giraffe I have in the backyard, he needs something like this for sure.
Oh, man, it really does work. We didn't kind of talk about it when he was on, but the other thing that happens when you have them when they're like really out like that, they start all of a sudden working their bodies differently, more fluid. So like my chestnut horse is now building muscle in places that I was kind of struggling getting the top line up, working his neck, and he was out, so he wasn't really using those muscles. It's pretty remarkable. I'm 100% sold.
That's cool. Very good. Well, we are going to have our next guest on here, and I do believe that your guests are ready, and we are going to talk to, well, why don't you introduce them?
Yes, this is. I'm excited to hear more about this Healthy Riders Isogenics from Katha and Jenna. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you guys were able to call in and give us a little info. I've been hearing about it, but we have a sort of a somewhat new system being marketed here to the riders. So, Katha, Jenna, tell us what is this Isogenics?
So I guess I'll kind of share my story a little bit, and then I'll let Jenna take over most of the important details. I, like, you know, so many of the listeners here, am a writer. I unfortunately have also a day job. and so I've always kind of struggled with, you know, having the energy to get around from work to the barn and so on and so forth, and really struggling with just having a program that was fit for me as a rider, with regards to my well-being and health. And so, I was really fortunate to have Jenna come into my life and introduce me to ISA Equine. And I've been really hooked ever since, and kind of reaching out to the people in my life who I think could really benefit from a system dedicated to making riders better at what they do every day. So Jenna, if you want to talk more about really the program itself, that would be great.
Sure. Good morning. Thanks so much for having us on. So my name's Jenna, and I've been a health coach and helping people get healthy for over a decade. So that's always been my passion. I really feel like, you know, we need to educate ourselves. We need to be healthy to live the lives that we want to live. So I was working with this incredible company called Isogenics. They're all about proper nutrition, detoxing, being strong, being healthy, you know, being vital when we're 100. They're a stellar, stellar health company, and they really focus on athletes. So the company just has this huge influx of Olympic athletes, professional athletes, regular people who, you know, are athletic. So I've been riding my entire life since I was 5. And I was at an event with my friend and business partner, Tab Calvitti, and we looked at each other and we thought, you know what? You know who's not in this group? Our equestrians. Why aren't equestrians a huge part of this? I mean, we are serious athletes. We have to be strong. We have to look good in our britches. We're up at 4 a.m. We need constant energy. And so we really just decided to niche market this to riders. It was just passion and excitement and common sense coming together. And what happened is it just took off. I mean, riders really want to be healthy. They love that it's easy. They love that it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. And it just has so many benefits. It brings the riding community together. People, you know, share their stories, where they're from. They help each other in business. And so what it turned into me is this is a full-time deal for me. So now I'm in the saddle and at the barn more, and all I do is help riders, you know, develop their own healthy lifestyle. So that's what Kath and I are doing, and it's been incredible.
Wow. I'm on your website now looking at the different products. So you kind of have a little bit of everything. It looks okay. There's a weight loss solution. So if people are looking into, gosh, there's so many products for that, but then also just for health, it looks like just energy. So what kind of person starts these programs, I guess, to start there?
This is Katha, by the way. So I think that there's really, what's nice about the company itself is really anybody can start with our program. It doesn't matter really what your goal is. There's going to be something for everybody. Whether it's, you know, a mother who is looking for some sort of rejuvenation in her life and wants to focus on her skincare routine, and hasn't eaten breakfast for 40 years, and something Uh-oh. Like that.
Or somebody, is that your mom?
Yeah. Yes.
And
or somebody who wants to lose weight, or for example, somebody like me. I, you know, didn't have a weight loss goal per se, but I was just exhausted and kind of hit an edge with regards to, I was always on the road. I was eating more from gas stations than anything else. And I felt bad. I didn't feel like the best version of myself. And so, you know, I didn't do it for any other reason than just to become a better version of myself. So it's not really for, you know, a specific person rather than just allowing people to reach their goals, whatever they might be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can absolutely relate with that being horse showing. I'm like you, you know, I ride, but also doing a few other jobs as well. The clothing line being the biggest second job. But it's hard, you know, to really commit 100% to a healthy lifestyle. Although we all want to be healthy, you know, it feels better to be healthy. Sometimes you can't help it. You're running to catch a plane. You've got to get in this line because it's shorter. And the only thing you could get is trash food. Surprise. You can get pizza or something else and you pay for it. You end up not feeling so great. So I like really the idea of having sort of a structure like this where you can, I mean, some of these things I'm looking through your website right now, these products, some of the nutritional supplements and snacks and things, I mean, you can take with you, right? You can buy and have a snack, something in your purse.
Absolutely. And the great part with all of these products, you can be 2 years old and be feeding them to your toddlers and knowing that or teenagers, you know, at a lot of these barns that we go to, a great age to get kids on a healthy habit is 10, 11, 12, 13, because what we're teaching them, you know, what you reach for as a snack, that adds up and that becomes your lifestyle. So these are amazing products at the horse shows, you know, instead of going to the wagon with the grilled cheese sandwich on a big.
Uh-oh.
Throw it in your barn bag, throw it in your purse. Did I lose you?
Oh, no, we got you back. It was just for a moment. You're back.
Right. So it's so convenient. And it doesn't matter if you're 5, 13, or 90. Everyone's body responds positively to healthy nutrition. So like Katha was saying, it's really for everybody. It just depends what your goals are. And that's, you know, that's why we're excited to share it with everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I like it a lot. I was looking all through it. You guys should check it out. It's healthyriders.isagenix.com. There's all kind of great products. We've got even skincare products, energy, weight loss, all kinds of stuff. So you guys should absolutely check it out. Thank you so much, Katha and Jenna, for coming on. This is super helpful and I think very valid. You're going to see a spike in business. I feel it.
Well, you know, we really appreciate that. Yeah, thank you so much.
Cool. All right. Talk to you soon, girls. I'm going to get myself some shakes too, I think. This looks good.
Sounds good.
Thanks for checking in. All right. Bye.
Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. The stuff like that's just amazing. Just especially when you are a person that doesn't have breakfast in the morning and then all of a sudden you start actually stepping up your health a little bit. It makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It really is so time, you know, related. I think not people don't want to eat poorly and feel bad, but you get stuck. You're like running from here to there and you've just got to eat something. Certainly if you wait too long and then you've got like low blood sugar is what happens to me. And I'm like, I don't care. I just have to eat something. You know,
that's when you go, oh, look, there's a Dunkin' Donuts on the way to the horse show.
Exactly. They're preying on our lack of structure over there. I think by putting the Dunkin' Donuts there, but that line will be out the door. Just wait. We're hopeless. Really.
It's terrible. And the thing is like on time wise, I've got this 2.5-year-old in the car. He needs food right now. It's so hard to not just pull in somewhere, you know, quickly. So definitely much easier to take something with you than just make it real quick, you know, no problem. So very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I think, did you go to their website?
No, I haven't looked at it yet.
It's pretty cool. They actually, they have all of the whole skincare line too, actually moisturizing cream, SPF, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's a huge program. It'll be interesting. I think it would definitely be worth a try for sure.
All right. Absolutely. Well, I know that, before we get to our next guest, we have a few minutes before we, get to talk to Artie. Talk to me a little bit about like, obviously the adjustments and everything made a big difference in 20 Hearts. So where does he go from here? Is it just a foundation of building up muscles and things like that? Or when do you start showing? I'm just curious in how you're down there. It must be just big pressure to just throw him in a class.
Oh, I know. No, for sure. And I was actually ready, to be honest, when I came down here. The horse was not 100% on the lead changes. He's a sweet horse. He's honest. He jumps super in front. There was a lot of great things going for him, and he wasn't like paralyzed or anything. I mean, my dog was practically paralyzed. I mean, it was really, really bad. And then he did make it so much better inside two sessions. But the horse, it was just sort of, you know, there wasn't a lot of fire and we were missing some lead changes. So I actually came down here preparing to do the hunters, which, I mean, I've really? Got red stirrups and like purple jackets and stuff. Like, I'm not even like, they won't even let me in. Like, they're going to, you know, I'm going to get disqualified when I walk in the ring. But I was like, you know, I think this is the best thing for him. So let me just develop him this way. We just take it a little bit slower. And then the tail was crooked. It was always crooked. I bought him like that. The horse, he jumps, he's got big scope, and I like the horse a lot. So so that didn't bother me so much, although it is there and the hunter people don't like it. So I sort of started walking this out. Thank God I got this recommendation and did, because the dog, you know, is a new man as well. But when he did that first adjustment, I immediately, the tail was almost totally better, a little bit left, but mostly straight. And the lead changes were 100% better the first time. And then the jump was so loose. So like literally I did a 180. I was like, well, forget the hunter thing. This horse is jumping great. And he's loose in the hips. He's getting all of his lead changes. I told you, he almost bucked me off the next day out on the trail. He was so excited and fresh. It was a new horse. So I had to kind of take it back and get back to just the building blocks, because he started using his body in a way that he'd not been using. So a horse that I thought was fit going the way that he'd been going the last many months, he immediately apparently became unfit because he's kicking out his hips. He's getting all of his lead changes. So I just had to take it real slow. It's been about a month now, maybe a little more. And he's, like I said, getting a top line. He's changing his body. So I am going to now start this weekend and do my very first class, having been down here, you know, for months. I'm just going to do a smaller class, though, just take my time, because he really is using himself differently. I didn't want to overpush him, or, you know, he'd probably get a bit sore if I'm doing too much, because he's really working differently. So it was a game changer, literally. Like, I was going in one direction and I basically just did a 180, and now I'm going the other direction because I've got a different horse under me.
Absolutely. That's really, really amazing to hear. I had a horse that was also had a crooked tail and had a trouble picking up the right lead consistently. And I just wonder if this would have made such a big difference for him. Wow, that's really, really cool.
So he actually did another one of my horses. The horse that I posted the video of is a black horse that we have in the barn, super quality. But he would, he's a bit hot, and he would blow his lead changes. And the horse is getting his lead changes now. He's picking up his back. And he said, we did touch on this, but he said he's had experience with horses that are out in their ribs, that they may be a little bit sort of anxious, tight like this, and they won't put on weight. Like, it definitely translates to their physical condition. And this is one of those horses. He eats as much as my ginormous stallion that's like three times as big as all the other horses. And this horse, he just kind of doesn't put on weight. And sure enough, even just in the last week and a half, I can see he's starting to fill out a little bit in the back.
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm sold.
He's funny, because he got a little shy and he didn't want to tell all of his success stories, because it does make you sound like you're some sort of witch doctor or something. You're like, yeah. Hey, buddy, like, the feeding is the feeding. Like, you know, how is this possible? It's calories in and calories burned. But it really is like that. I encourage anybody to investigate it. And for sure, down in Wellington, I mean, Dr. Griffith is incredible, and he's had so much experience. He started, I don't remember what kind of race horses, but he worked originally at the racetrack, and that's volume. It's so many horses, you know, you really get a lot of experience.
Well, and it's not like he's not a veterinarian, you know, it's not like a random, hey, I took this class and I'm going to adjust your horse. Like, there's people that do that, you know,
and like a party trick.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I took a 2-week course. I'm going to massage and adjust your horse. And these are veterinarians that are certified through him. I'm looking at the ones here, and in Arizona, and there's everybody's a veterinarian. So that's really cool. I'm excited to try it. Now we've got our next guest ready. Artie is here from Blueberry Hill. I love that name, by the way.
Yay.
I've
got this song
stuck in my head.
I know, and you'll love her. So welcome to the show, Artie.
Hello.
Yay, you made it.
I did. How are you girls?
We're good. We're good. We're so glad that you're able to come on. I've been pumping you up. I was so excited about your debut here because you're just like one of those kick butt girls out there starting business, making stuff happen. And it's an exciting thing, your tax store, but it's like inspirational. I mean, you've done an incredible job. How long have you been in business?
Thank you. It's been 5 years, going on our sixth, and actually this winter. So it's quite an adventure and a learning process as you work your way along. Thank you so much for all the compliments. I've had a great time doing this. So I'm quite lucky.
Yeah. You know, you're passionate about it too. I've been able to catch up with you a couple times in person, and it's contagious. I mean, you love what you do. First of all, Artie is a rider. So tell us your background in riding, firstly.
Well, I've kind of been around horses my whole life. Both my parents rode just recreationally when they were younger. And it started off for me when I was about 2 years old. I had a babysitter that lived on a farm. And so to pass the time, she would put me on this really fat, old, retired thoroughbred named Andy and leave me bareback in the field. And I would sit on this horse for hours and just play on his back, sing songs, and like play with his mane, and she would sit on the rock and watch me. And I've just always loved horses, and I started riding, taking lessons at the age of 4 or 5. And actually, it was not at all in the hunter jumper world. I was with Morgan Horses, and so I learned how to do a little bit of western, a little bit of driving, and actually saddle seat for a while. And then, you know, the passion grew. I watched, you know, Ian Miller and Big Ben on TV at Spruce Meadows and saw all these big horse shows. And, you know, nearby where I live up in Canada is Bromont, which, you know, had the 76 Olympics there. So, you know, I just had this passion for horses, and it just grew. And, you know, throughout the years, I wanted to find a way to find my own niche and build a career in horses in some way, you know. So I was really lucky that Blueberry Hill kind of grew into my life and it became who I am now.
Yeah, it really is incredible. That's the reason I really say it's inspirational as well, because it's hard to open a tax store and build a clientele and all of this, but what you've done is actually created a brand for your tax store. I mean, I see so many people. You guys have to log on to Artie's website. She has online shopping as well, which is, I think we posted it, but it's blueberry-hill.net. But you have hats and shirts. Artie actually made custom shirts through S Equestrian for her clients that have her logo.
I love
but
them.
They look so cute. I show yours to everybody all the time. Like, look how great they could be. And you can match the steps.
Yeah. And everyone's like, what's PH? And I'm like, very like, oh, that's so cool. And they're like, how did you come up with this name? I'm like, well, I didn't want the regular name of tax shop boutique, and that's different. And I myself am very different and outgoing. And, you know, I thought it was really important that in this industry where I kind of follow this uniform, that, you know, people find their way to express themselves and make it more personal. So my whole thing was to try and be different and to, you know my clients on a personal level and know what they like. And I think that's what's really made me kind of become who I am. And, you know, the name Blueberry Hill, I mean, it was my favorite song that my dad used to put on CDs for me by Fats Domino. I mean, a classic, classic song.
I found my thrill.
And that's how it goes. So, you know, we got our BH divas going around and representing, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. You got to have fun, right? And that's
what
it's all about.
No, totally. And that it, your passion for it and excitement, and it's authentic. I mean, you're a rider. You know what the cool gear is. You know what lasts. You know what's your good bang for your buck. And that's what you stock your unit with. And I don't always see your mobile unit at the horse shows that I go to. We kind of crisscross, but I do pop up and make visits. And so when I go to where you are, like in Ocala, and I think you were in Princeton too, right? Last year.
Yes, I've been a little bit traveling throughout the state, but my main focus is up in Canada. And then with the online, I'm shipping all over the world. I've shipped to Bermuda. I've shipped, to Europe. I've shipped anywhere in the U.S. I've even shipped to Australia. So I try and, I'm trying to get the brand out there. We've got the BH hat, the t-shirts, the socks, your ECE shirts, which I love. We're trying to work local companies, trying to get away from the made in China, work with, people in North America and Europe, and really try and get a brand that we like, and represent. So it's a lot of fun.
And you've done that successfully. Yeah. What's really, which I found interesting every time I popped up for a visit is I'll stay for, a little bit. We hang out and chat and we have a great time, but to see the clients come in one after another, and like someone's got a Blueberry Hill hat or somebody's got a Blueberry Hill sweatshirt. Like it's for sure a brand. It's like a group and you've got a following and people come for that personal attention. Artie herself is in the mobile unit. She'll help fit you for boots or coats or ECE shirts or whatever it is that you want. But I was so struck by your personal way with the clients. I think they really appreciate that. And that's a bit lost these days in the big business.
I totally agree. And that's exactly what I focused on when I did start this, is I just want to make people that came into my store feel like numbers, or that they were getting, assessed at the front door when they walked in by what they were wearing. I want to know these people, and I have, I want personal stuff. And, it took me a while to get used to people wanting my name on them. Like, I was like, really? You want a t-shirt that I wear? Like, okay, I guess. Like, so it became a thing, and I made my logo one night. I was just doodling on stuff, and I posted pictures on Instagram, and I was like, which logo do you guys like? And the followers were like, that one looks so awesome. And I was like, okay. And so I just tried to make it personal. Like when people come into the store, I freak some of my clients out, because I'm like, oh yeah, 2 years ago you bought that saddle pad that had that blue trim, and didn't we do like a red embroidery? And they're like, yes. I might not always remember their name right off the bat, but I'll remember what they did or what they like. And, I think people really feel a connection that way, that they just don't feel that it's some manufacturer, okay, come in, buy, leave. I mean, it's a whole experience. I tell funny stories, I'm entertaining, we have a great time, and I think that's really important. So it's great, because people come in to get the great products that I like, which, my motto is only the best. So being a rider, we all have our personal preferences, but, working with these products, I know them in and out because I use them all the time every day. And actually a lot of my manufacturers, I've been with them pretty much from the beginning, or with them so closely that it's not just, hey, I'd like to make another order. I'm constantly working with these companies to improve their products or give them feedback and see like, oh, well, with me, this happened. Or, I have a couple clients that say this, or how about we incorporate this color? And, I try and build my products with my company. So it's not just, hey, I want 10 more hats, or I need 6 more saddle pads, or, hey, I see that so-and-so is selling this really well. It's kind of a family affair with my wholesalers, which I think makes a big difference.
Oh, for sure. No, I can relate with that 100%, because I think were one of our first vendors way back in the day that we signed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, how did she find us?
I was your first one in Canada. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't even really remember. How did we do this, Emily? I don't even remember. I just remember getting so excited.
Which is a good thing to remember. If you're going to remember something, remember being excited. No, you messaged us through, we had a couple, I think we were selling in Bevels, and we had like just like two or three domestic tack stores. We were just getting started, and you actually messaged us through the website, and we're interested in carrying. And we were like, oh my gosh, like we've done zero marketing. Like, where did she find us? But that,
yeah, this chick from Canada, like, Yeah. Canada, like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, we're like, oh my God. But it really was, it shows kind of like where your head is. You're in the game. Like, you're a rider. You're out there putting time in, a lot of thought. You know, Artie's store, when you go into her trailer, it is immaculate. It is very organized. It's beautiful. It's got all of the wood moldings, the graphics on the outside. I mean, it's gorgeous, but it's not overstocked. Like, it's all the, like you say, it's only the best. You have what you think is the optimum breech, what you like for the shirts, what you like for, you know, the strapped goods, the equipment. And it really shows, it's top notch. And I just, I was excited to hear that you were online, you know, that's why I thought this would be great reach for you as well, because anybody can partake in these great products, which are not necessarily your run of the mill products that you see everywhere else. They are what Artie thinks are the best. And I agree. I was just going through your products. I love ADT Tack. Not everybody carries them, but they're super.
Yes. Yeah. I've, you know, and these are people that I've met throughout the thing. So how I became Blueberry Hill, I actually was a sales rep for Ogilvy Equestrian, which a lot of people know. It's a Canadian made product, but it actually was an hour from my backyard. And I was 20, let's not date myself too much, but I was 24 and I was just some kid that was, you know, wanting to go ride in the States. And, you know, parents are like, well, you got to make money. So go, you know, go do something. So I wanted to be a working student or whatnot. And I went up to Ogilvy. It was one of their first years that they were really available. And I was like, you know, I really like your product and I can't afford it, but I know I can sell this because it's great. And, you know, Jack kind of looked at me and was like, who is this kid? And like, where did she come from? And I just like showed up at his booth at the Royal Winter Fair and was like, I can do this. And so he gave me, I think he gave me like maybe $800 worth of stock. And I brought it with me in my tack trunk. And I was a working student down in Ocala, which was my first year ever in Ocala. I'd never been there. You know, I literally showed up with a tack trunk, a saddle, and my high amateur horse. And I was like, I need to, you know, I need to make some money to, well, make money. I just need to feed myself. I didn't care about money. And so I had all these saddle pads and I kept walking around and riding in them, and people were like, what's that? And, you know, I went to like Emil Spadone's place. A couple of the girls liked it. Michelle Spadone, Darby Tobin, a bunch of the girls really liked it, bought some stuff, and it just took off from there. You know, more people saw it. And, you know, a year and a half later, I was done kind of doing my working student thing and I wanted to come back to Canada. And I went back and Jack Ogilvy was like, you know, you just sold like $18,000 worth of stuff out of the trunk of your car. And I was like, really? Like, oh, that's cool. And he was like, that's like amazing. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything. You know, like went to McGill and phys ed and teaching because I thought that was a great, you know, accompaniment with the horses and breaking down lesson plans and teaching and riding and stuff because I wanted to be actually a professional in the horse industry. And he was like, you need to work for us, but we're still small, so we'll contract you. So, you know, he flies me to Spruce Meadows for the Masters. And I have the big sales table and everything set up. And then he flew me to the World Equestrian Games in Kentucky. And, you know, I guess, you know, people say I have the gift of the gab and I'm passionate. I love the product. So for me, it wasn't like I was trying to push the product on someone. I wasn't trying to sell anything. I was telling them what I believed in. And, you know, as I was working the floor, having a great time, telling stories, laughing, other companies came up to me and they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Artie. Like, I don't know. I'm just Artie. And they're like, we want you to sell our stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of working here for Ogilvy. And they're like, this card, you need to take this and call us and like, let us know. And so I came home and, you know, my dad's kind of like, well, what are you going to do this winter? You need to make money. You're out of, you know, you graduated from university. You didn't want to be a teacher, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, but look, like, I'm selling these things and people want me to represent them. And so I made a business plan with my dad and I said, you know, can you lend me, I think I started with $20,000 and that was enough to buy, you know, the trailer, $8,000 worth of product and enough money to pay my vendor fee. And I had 5 items. And I just started that way and it just quickly grew. And there were a lot of them were Canadian made products. I had Ogilvy. I had Cheval Fashions. I had Bonnets. And I basically had like 2 or 3 other little things. I had Angel Lips, which are awesome. And it was all basic custom things. And I just got to make friends with other people that I already knew at the horse shows. Everybody already knew me as like the fun chatty girl that would, you know, to make a turtle talk while I was riding around on my horse. And, you know, it kind of grew from there, and everyone started hanging out at the store, and then I can make outfits for people. And, you know, like, how fun is it when you're going in the ring and there's like six other girls wearing the exact same shirt as you, and you spent how much money on this? Like, let's make it special. Let's make it you. And where everyone, you know, the hashtag matchy matchy. I mean, I feel like that was like my whole, you know, my whole premise is, you know, let's match that bonnet to the half pad, to the saddle pad, to like something on your helmet, to your angel whip, to your, you know, the Hayward jackets that I sell. You know, we try and make outfits, and it's fun. Like, I'm making a new outfit for myself this year. I'm doing chocolate brown boots, jacket, helmet. I'm doing like the Swarovski crystal shadow mat, because I'm a big pusher of Sam Shield helmets. I do the Tucci boots. I'm doing Ogilvy half pad, the Equifit boots. I'm doing top to bottom, like brown on my day mare for the jumpers. So it's going to be cool. Yeah. So
you see those posts, because you're so good on social media, Blueberry Hill on, or is it Blueberry Artie on Instagram?
Yeah, Blueberry _ Artie. Yeah, that's me.
Artie, yeah. And so I always see like that, like the matchy-matchy outfits that come out. I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so great, because it's like, you know, really high quality stuff, but it's geared towards that person's color. Now, sort of the other step in that direction is, not everybody does this. This is phenomenal, but you make barn calls. You do barn parties. Tell us about that.
Yeah. That was, I think, probably the best thing I could have ever done for my business, because you know, when you're at the horse shows, yeah, you're moving, everything's shaking, things are going, but it's those down times. And, you know, I had this great idea. You know how people have like those jewelry parties or like Tupperware parties at their place? I'm like, why don't I bring my tack shop to these farms? So, you know, I had some great relationships with some barns up in Canada. I you know, worked really closely with Winbrook, Fiddlers, Elm Cross Stables. And these are great friends of mine. And I said, why don't I bring my tack shop for the day? Set it up. There'll be a discount on everything in the store. And this way I can help trainers get their kids properly suited and ready for the horse show season, so that these poor parents don't have to go back and forth to the tack shop 30 times returning stuff. Oh no, not allowed, like leopard print or zebra or hot pink things. You know, this way the poor trainers aren't having meltdowns that, you know, the kids are not kind of looking in the uniform, and these poor parents that actually, you know, most of the time don't really know what they're doing. And, you know, and some of these big, you know, generic tack shops, you know, a lot of the people inside that work there don't really know the product. They don't really know what is really needed and quality. And so they just kind of say, oh yeah, well, this is kind of selling well. Well, I'm like, this is the greatest stuff. Like, moms, you're going to love this jacket because it's machine washable. And like, if I can wash it, anybody can, because like, I made it idiot proof. You know what I mean? Or like, this is great because like, you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that. And it lasts forever. Like, one time I did this and still lasted. And, you know, so people, they like that. And so the kids come in, we play outfits, we start matching things. We design show coats. You know, the Hayward jackets have been great. The Sam Shield helmets, I really do very, very well on. It's one of our best sellers, because of the adjustability of the padding, and really understood, you know, the padding system and how to make it safe and how they can use it. You know, Tucci boots, the quality's there, the leather's there, the proper zippers. I mean, we don't want to deal with, you know, that customer service. If there's an issue, we deal with stuff. Everything is very personalized. So, you know, in a case of, you know, how much bigger am I going to get? Well, it depends, because I need to make sure that I always have the right people on my team, because a lot of the times they want to deal with me and crazy me, whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but they all like the stories and the shenanigans and the laughs. And, you know, I'm just like running around like a hot mess, but it's all calculated, but it's fun.
No. And that's the calculated attitude. There's like a real following, you know. I was like, wow, every time I come to visit you, I mean, so many people come in the store. They're like, hey, Artie, my boots are doing well. Or like, they're like coming to catch up, you know. They're coming to shop, but sometimes they're just coming to tell you they love their product and everything's great. And they just hang out for a minute and then off they go. It's really incredible.
it's my, yeah, my friends are like, you're so dangerous. I just came in to like, let you know what I did. And I was like, with $300 in a bag. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't mean to. And they were like, yeah, but I just had to have it. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's the best. So you said, there you go. So it's a lot of fun. It is
so great. I love coming to visit and see. I do the same thing. I leave with stuff. I left with like horse cookies and a whole bunch of stuff I didn't need last time.
Yeah. And your little dog loves me, and he's like, I know, very selective. So I feel like I have a bonding with your dog. He can come
That's
hang out
right.
anytime.
That's right. Yeah, you do like Arno. We were just talking about him today because we had Dr. Griffith, who is a chiropractor of sorts, on. And he, you know how my dog is. I hate to say it, yeah, but he's a little bit of a biter. I mean, he doesn't want anybody to touch him except mama. And so he did. He loved you. He went right up to you, which I was like, oh my gosh. But
yeah, he was like, on my foot.
He let Dr. Griffith adjust him now twice. No biting, no nothing. I think he
That's
knows it
awesome.
Feels good. He couldn't wag his tail. He was in really bad shape, and Dr. Griffith helped him. But anyway,
yeah. Well, it's so long back confirmation.
I know.
It's hard.
I know. Yeah. We're just destined. But before we lose you, we're running out of time. I want people to know where they can find you. It's blueberry-hill.net, and then.
Yes.
These barn parties, where do you do them? Is that, I mean, you're in Canada on the East Coast in Florida, or like, where can people get their barn?
A lot of the barn parties I did mainly in Canada, just because it was easy to like travel to the place and set up for the day. And I was kind of in the local area. Now, if there's people here in Ocala, Florida that want to do something, I can definitely organize it. Right now I have the trailer actually at a private farm in Ocala. So, you know, people are constantly calling me, hey, I'm kind of in the area, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm living at my house, so come on over. And you know, they're set up and people come and they come up. And not, the barn parties are great, but I kind of always did it during like the Christmas time, or at the main time was the best part, was in the spring, about a month before show season. So we had time to do orders and set the kids up and get them all organized, you know. But then people constantly call me through. I mean, if I drop my phone for about 10 minutes, I'm generally at about an hour behind on picking up on people's messages, Facebook and Instagram. Facebook and Instagram, I look super cool on that and do a lot of great, you know, social media. My website is definitely one of my New Year's resolutions. I need to update that, get a little bit more current and work on that. But, you know, the shopping online, it's more basically send me an email. You know, I don't have a shopping cart click, I want this, this, or this, because everything is so personal and so custom that I really want the client to have to call me. So that way it's hands-on all the time. And if there's any questions or a problem, it's not like they've been passed around to three different employees. Well, there's not really three different employees called. But this way I know and remember everything at the best of my capability at times. You know, sometimes, you know, you try and juggle a lot of ideas, but call me, email me, and we'll get it going. And, you know, I generally talk on the phone with the clients. Hey, what's your color horse? Like, what are your barn colors? What do you want? How do you feel? What do you already have in your, you know, accessories that we can build on that? You know, it's not always just making a whole new outfit. It's like, okay, you have a lot of white saddle pads with blue trim. Let's build outfits on that, you know? And so people call me, text me. I mean, my cell phone is always available. The number is 561-578-0051. And my email is info@blueberry-hill.net. And anybody is more than welcome to give me a call, send me an email, and we'll go from there for sure. And, you know, make it the best thing that they want and are the happiest with.
Yeah, well, you have a real gift, Artie, for it. It's really a great, great project that you're doing and offering all of these services. And you guys, her info is on her webpage, or find her on Facebook.
Yes.
Super. Well, yeah. I will see you
Instagram
up in Ocala.
Has all my stuff.
I'm going to come check you out.
Anytime. Yeah, and I hope to come down in Wellington. You know, I'm constantly drop shipping to clients in Wellington. And when I come down for the weekend, sometimes to see friends and family and, you know, the big Saturday night Grand Prix, I'm generally bringing products and doing drop deliveries at people's farms. So
nice.
If people ever need anything, they just let me know. And I mean, shipping from Ocala to Wellington, they have it the next day. So, I mean, it's really accessible, really easy to get to. And I really appreciate all your support over the years, Emily. You guys have a great product yourselves. And I'm excited to see your new coats and all the fun colors. Like everything that you guys have, it gives me inspiration to continue doing what I'm doing because it's working with great products like yours, Ogilvy, Tucci, Billiker Bonnets, Hayward Jackets, Struck Britches. I mean, these are all key items. Sam Shield. These are all great key items that I carry in my store and working with you guys, and you guys want to improve your product. So it makes my life easy. Then I just
it goes both ways. We love it because it's people like you that are able to drive the sales and get the market rolling. But thank you so much, Artie, for meeting with us, taking the time. You guys check it out, blueberry-hill.net. Get your gear drop shipped, and we will see you soon.
Yes. Nice talking with you girls.
Good luck, Artie. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, I don't know what we can add after that love fest that we just had. Good, oh my gosh, she's good. You did great. It's so much fun working with you, Emily. I appreciate the time, and you were so great yesterday to come on and join us during our 12-hour craziness that we had here.
That was epic. The chat alone was epic.
Yeah, I don't think Glenn has a voice this morning, so that's why I get to sit in with you. So I feel lucky to do so. I have found many more ways to spend my money today, so I've got to go do some more online shopping right now.
Right?
And book a new doctor to come out and see us. So anyway, it's been wonderful. Emily, thank you so much. Please give everybody your website one more time.
It is ECEEquestrianCo.com or on Facebook, ECEEquestrian. You can message us through Facebook for the holiday discount on in-stock shirts or custom made-to-order show coats.
All right, fantastic. We will talk to you again next month. Everybody have a great day.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.